If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Healthcare for Humans, hosted by Dr. Sundar, expands our understanding of the history and culture of different communities and how to provide culturally responsive care. There's an episode you should check out where guest Dr. Duran details the systemic barriers faced by individuals with DACA status and highlights the importance of addressing these barriers. Check out Healthcare for Humans on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to Highway to Health. I'm Jeremy Quinby. How are you, my friends? This is episode 81 of the podcast. If you're a new listener, I want to welcome you to the show. Highway to Health is a place for you to explore and create your own blueprint for health. Having worked in integrative health for nearly 25 years, I'm acutely aware of how all aspects of our lives come to have an effect on our overall state of being. And it's my hope that through the content and conversations you get here, you'll become more engaged and empowered personally and in your communities. Today on the show, I've got a roundtable discussion about vasectomies, the less common approach to pregnancy prevention. And we talk about public perceptions around it and its role in public health. That conversation is just around the corner. But first, I want to let you know that we have a new website about to launch, highway2.health. It's been a big undertaking. And in it, you'll be able to search and explore hundreds of topics, watch and listen to inspiring content, and find better resource than you can get from any of the traditional news sources. If you'd like to see this project continue to grow and thrive, please consider becoming part of the community today. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/highwaytohealth or by clicking the support link in the show notes on the app you're listening to right now. So this conversation today really started about 5 years ago when I was working on a project with Dr. Aaron Babb, a regular on the show. He's the youngest member of this group in the conversation. And when he told me in his early 30s that he'd already had a vasectomy, it took me by surprise. But the more I learned about his decision, the more intrigued I was, and the more profound the concept became. This was recorded the same weekend in Denver as my conversation with Kristen Campbell from last week's episode, Love in the Time of COVID. And she joins us as someone who's had many conversations with male clients about the topic as part of her work as a professional matchmaker. And Anthony Monaco, a good friend, joins us as well to share his experience and reasons for getting a vasectomy at a younger than usual age. This is a candid conversation, as it has to be considering the subject matter, and is not something I've heard covered before, certainly not in sex ed. There's a lot to unpack about sex as it relates to culture, its importance in relationships, and the role science has in responsible sex practices. Certain to be an engaging one, here is our conversation about vasectomies. So this conversation has been going on sort of behind the scenes for a long time, partly from Dr. Aaron Babb, who's talked to me about what the reasons that you did this, which came from your sister and Anthony.
I think it started with me.
Did it start with you?
I'm pretty sure it started with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, because you started talking about when we were still in Rochester and you hadn't met Anthony yet.
Yeah, but I think he was the confirmatory.
Yes.
Now I know someone who did it.
Yeah. Yes. Because I think I had thought of it before, but when I was at the Mayo Clinic still and I went to meet with the urology department and I actually met with the chief resident and asked about it and I gave my whole spiel about how... you know, I might want to have kids someday, but I definitely don't want to have kids now. And yeah. I definitely don't want to have kids without like planning it and wanting so I can actually, you know, provide the right type of home and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so funny, I went and met with the chief resident and she was like, huh, it's a really interesting thing. I mean, it totally makes sense to me, but I'm pretty sure our chairman would make you have a psych eval before we would do anything like that.
And you had to wait till you're over 30 years old.
Well, for the insurance to cover it, they said that I would have to wait until I was over 30.
Huh. Interesting.
But the reason why I actually ended up doing it, because that was like, you know, that was more in the discovery phase of getting all the information and stuff, was until I had talked to Anthony.
So Anthony, why did you decide to do it?
Yeah, so...
And how old were you?
I was 32 when I did it, so I was a very sexually active late 20s, early 30s person. Yeah. I was like Mr. Condom, But everyone hates them, as I did too. But I still used them. I was really good about it.
Right.
And then I had a couple of years where both male and female friends had kids with people that were horrible people.
Yeah, yeah.
And watched it ruin their lives completely and did a little research. And I'm like, oh, they're reversible. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to do this because they're like 85-ish% reversible back then. I'm like, those are odds I can live with, you know, because if I 15% can't have a kid, that ruins my life a little bit. If I have a kid with someone that I can't stand, it ruins my life entirely. Mm-hmm. So I was like, these odds make sense. So I went and got it done. It was funny, actually, the psych eval you were mentioning, I had to do one before they did it because they said, you're really young. Are you sure? I'm like, no, I'm not sure. I'm like, oh, well, now we need to talk. And I gave them that odds with the hand gestures. It ruins my life this much versus all the way to the ceiling. And they're like, I've never heard that answer before, but makes sense, like you said. So, yeah, so, like, go on through. So.
Well, and it wouldn't have just ruined your life. It would have ruined three people's lives.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Or all the people that child would have killed, too. Yeah.
Which is funny, not funny.
Right, yeah. True.
The chances of two serial killers in the same family are kind of astronomical.
Yeah,
what? Totally, what do you mean?
Fair point.
Well, when Aaron talked about it with me the first time, I thought you might have mentioned Kristen in it, but also just that there was a conversation maybe that you guys had talked about for a while. And the thing that impressed me about what you said about it was, think about how much emotional energy goes into what women have to go through all the time when they have a sexual partner and they're not ready for marriage with this person, and when this thing could be solved with the vasectomy.
Yeah, so let me tell you the real story, or the real story that made me really want to do it.
Okay.
So I was with someone at the time that I absolutely loved, and I still think she's incredible, you know? And we were both surgical residents. And if, you know, a lot of women actually don't know that you have to take if you're on birth control, the pill, you have to take it within like an hour every single day for it to work.
Okay.
Like if you actually skip one, you know, like you totally could get pregnant.
Okay.
Depending. So it's like, it's only effective if you take it correctly and you take it like within like an hour or two of like the same time every single day.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we were together and, she ended up telling me that like she had a scare, but it was months ago and she never told me about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, that's so crazy that she like went through that alone without telling me about it, you know? And I felt so bad about that. But then the other part of it was, you know, I'm a little kind of control freak too, you know, but to think that actually, you know, that could happen and I would have no idea. Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I would have to deal with, you know, the complication, or the obligations of what to do about that.
Right.
And so I didn't want to have, you know, in the future to rely on someone else that they were going to take a pill every single day within an hour.
Yeah.
Well, and in residency, I mean, who knows if she's going to be able to get out of a surgical room.
Yeah. And she could have been in the operating room for 10 hours, like, you know what I mean? Like 3 days in a row or something. And to put the responsibility on her when we had like an equal relationship, you know?
Yeah.
It just didn't seem fair.
Yeah, that was part of it for me was that too, is finding out that birth control. So I had a girlfriend who got on birth control and she turned completely crazy. Like she was the most even keeled, awesome woman of all time. And she just became like just rage all the time. And I hid them from her. I was like, you cannot take these anymore. Like I can't do this.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a crazy system that we have where that's expected for women to change their mind, like their brains, how they function to do this thing when I can just get this snip surgically and it doesn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's incredibly powerful. Why would I put this burden on females at all? It makes no sense. And I became an evangelist and telling everybody, this is the best thing ever. The world needs this to happen at age 12 for every male, and then you have to like intentionally only have intentional babies. And so I just kind of became this big evangelist for that.
I could not agree more.
Yeah.
And so like during my research, like looking at different options and stuff, like in India, they were
silicone, they were
doing the trial of basically the injection into the vas deferens with basically kind of like silicone. So when the sperm like went through it, it would break it apart and it was reversible.
Yeah.
Like you could go in, give another injection, it would dissolve like the silicone or whatever it was.
I was really excited about that. Did it happen? Because I thought in like 2017, like they were coming to America to do the trials and I never heard anything about it. I was like, this is going to change the world.
I know. The last I heard about it was someone had bought the rights to it to bring it to the United States and they wanted to do it as like a nonprofit and stuff. And I haven't heard anything.
That is heartbreaking.
Did you?
They were making it a nonprofit.
It's probably somebody bought it to sink it.
Right.
this is not the Lord's way.
Right, exactly. Well, did you freeze your sperm?
I did, yeah. I did freeze my sperm, which was kind of a funny thing because I went to do it and my they had to put my sperm freezing appointment, they had to delay it for some reason, and then my vasectomy appointment was coming up, and so it ended up, I got my vasectomy right before I saved my sperm. So what's funny about that, because I was like, so this happened. Yeah, so they're like, you still have some sperm, so you should just go ahead and try. So I did it, and like, so like, the sperm count might be lower. So I saved my sperm, which was a whole hilarious story anyway, because they only apparently hire really attractive women to work there. But then saved my sperm, and so I kept calling. I'm like, how many sperm are in there? How many sperm are in there? And they're like, well, we don't know yet. And so you usually get 8 million from a typical yield, and I had 4 million in mine. But like, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember the urologist, because actually the cryo freezing place was like the floor above his, and so I had to like I had to give like 3 samples or something like that to like freeze your sperm. And I remember him calling me, and it was so clear that he like this was super abnormal to have such a young person do this, you know. And so I remember him getting on the phone. He's like, oh, you know, how's it going? You know, just calling to go over your results. He's like, whoa, you had a lot of sperm in there. He's like, this is not normal. Basically, because like I was so young, and most of the time it's much older people.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was funny hearing him being like caught off guard on the phone.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was like the best medical experience I've had. I paid cash for it, you know, because part of it was.
How much was it?
So it was like $5,000.
Okay.
Oh, wait, mine was
that's including the sperm, not the just the snip.
Correct.
Yeah, the snip was like $220, $230, I think.
Yeah. So like yeah.
Was
so
like
this
200?
No.
So I got it from Dr. Snips.
Yeah.
In Seattle, he was $230. I'm pretty sure. They're like, you can do insurance, but it's a lot of hassle, and they may not cover it. I'm like, I'll just pay you.
For sure. Yeah. So mine was a little different because mine was in San Francisco, in a very nice area, and this guy was like, basically, he had this very boutique, and his thing was basically. Vasectomy reversals. So because I had done some surgery training and that sort of thing, I knew like if I was going to have it reversed, I wanted the guy doing it up front who was going to do, you know, like knew how to do reversals in the end. So he like did it the right way.
Like you're really super scientific about it, because I had the same thing and they're like, so it's 85% reversal. And so I talked to the doctor and before he did it, like he's like about to snip in there. I'm like, can you just leave a little bit extra in there? And he was like, I guess it means it might not take. And I'm like, that's okay. Like that, maybe that gives me 10% of reversing it. That was the extent of my, I want this reversed.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
So he did, so he cut out a little bit less.
Yeah, so he cut it, he cauterized the end and then put titanium clips on the end. And he's like, I've never had any issues. He's like, I had one NFL football player who's like, you know, side chick basically tried to claim that it was, you know, like his baby.
Awesome.
And he said, nope, I'm 100%. And he loved telling that story.
Yeah, that's funny. Awesome.
And so he said he puts the clips on because he's like, this is like the final, it's never going to come apart.
Yeah, that's great. Again, that's the $5,000 well spent. Then.
Maybe. But it was more for his expertise.
Yeah.
So that's what I was really paying for, because basically he does reversals all day.
Yeah.
You know, and I probably overpaid, but at the same time, it was one of those where at that time, I really thought I definitely don't want to have kids. I still don't think I want to have kids, you know, especially because of this whole thing. But, like, it's kind of nice to have the option.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was never sure. I kept thinking at some point I would really want them, the biological clock, and it has just only diminished over time. But, I'm like, yeah, if I change my mind, then I have the option.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Back to one of the things that you said earlier that I think is really interesting that I've read about, is that when women take the pill, there's getting ready to be a documentary coming out with somebody who I did a podcast with before, with Ricky Lake and Abby Epstein. They just did one, the one that I, about the use of cannabis in cancer treatment with children, which was a bit kind of, you know, an edge to be talking about. Yeah. But, you know,
not so much here in Colorado.
No. But the science is there, and a lot of the stuff that they were filming was either on the East Coast or West Coast. But yeah, but they're getting ready to do another one that's coming out that's about the pill. And one of the interesting things about the pill is that when women are on it, because of the way that it affects you, it affects your sense of how you pick up pheromones.
That is exactly the point I was going to make when they were done with it.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, well then you talk about it, because you probably know more about it than I do.
Well, this actually comes from being a teenager. A friend of mine and I were talking about it, we were talking about it as teenagers, and about how the birth control has probably affected the divorce rate because people are attracted to people that aren't the right mates for them because of birth control and how it changes. Basically, it basically changes your hormones into a sense of you being pregnant. So you're actually more attracted to familial hormones and pheromones. And so it was, we've been talking about it for years.
Yeah, because that was what I read, was that you could, you know, you could be as a female, you could be attracted to a man and think that smell was great, and then you get off of the pill and your hormones change and you really don't like the way this person smells. How do you do that for the rest of your life?
Right. And that's why the divorce rate is what it is. Which, you know, it's 57% for a first marriage, 60 some for a second, 70 some for a third, and 87% for a fourth. Like, and I think we get worse at it. And I know I said that last night.
I think it's even deeper than the pheromones too. It's actually like choosing a mate and their qualities. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I've heard and read like a bunch of stuff about that, where people are, you know, a woman's on the pill, they get married, and then they go off and they divorce, and it has something also kind of like their risk or something like that, where if they're on the pill because they're already, like, their body thinks they're pregnant, they're not actually like looking for as like strong of a man or that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of factors that affects. And so it goes back to, and again, one more reason to get a vasectomy, because you're going to be attracting the right kind of mate as well if they're not on the pill. And so it can make you really unhappy.
Okay, so as the only man in the room without a vasectomy...
what are you waiting for
now?
I have questions, and I'm just assuming that other people have questions about this too. So the 85% rate, that's probably improved.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Right.
And I think it really has to do, obviously, with the person's hands, right? And how many they do, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so the guy that I went to, I mean, it's like 95, 99 or something like that.
Probably important, in case people are listening to this and using it as a decision point, probably important to note that it's just a couple of snips to get it done, and it's microsurgery to get it undone.
That's very true.
So it's like tens of grands of dollars to get it undone. So
100%.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes.
So that's important to know.
Yeah, it's not just like an easy, you are absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if someone asks you as a man, do you want to have children? And you feel, if you say no,
yeah,
it should be no question. Yeah, shouldn't even be a discussion anymore. If you know your answer to having children is no, it should automatically be you go get that handled, because it's the responsible adult thing to do.
Right. I mean, that's the part of the reason I wanted to talk about this, is because, you know, my wife and I had a scare about maybe 4 years ago, and we were definitely at a point where we were like, all right, getting our lives are finally back in order. We have a teenager. Our daughter is like 5 or something, 6 at the time. We're like, we're starting to live again. and then to have a scare at that point was like, oh my God, this could totally change. Because she's, my wife's younger than me, that makes a big difference, because she could continue to conceive for quite a while. So you guys are probably convincing me at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I would challenge you and you say that we don't want to have kids. Really? Why wouldn't you do it?
And I imagine that there's a lot of people who go through a divorce after having had kids, and they know that they want to go back to dating. But, you know, to your point, I'm sure this is what you end up talking to clients about, but you definitely don't want to, you know, have more children, or have the responsibility, the cost, and all that stuff. And for $220 or whatever, I mean,
Planned Parenthood covers it, I think, too, like on a socioeconomic scale.
Yeah. But and even the flip side of that, too, to what you were saying, is if you're with the love of your life and you decide that you do want to make a child, $10,000 is nothing.
Exactly. That was like the point, that's the point I was going
to
make.
It would be nice to have a barrier to entry a little bit.
Yes.
Not,
it's actually, a $10,000 insurance policy that you didn't screw up the love of your life before with having a child.
Yeah. They're going to cost you way more than that in the first year anyway. So it's really not a big deal.
And so going back and how many people I've interviewed thousands of potential clients for the dating service company, and all of the men over all of the years that told me that they had one all said it was the best decision they ever made.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I have never had one single person, and like I said, it'll be 20 years next July, 20 years ago next July that I started with the company. I have never had one single potential or actual client that ever said they regretted it.
Yeah.
They all said it was the best decision.
Yeah, I've probably directly influenced, you know, 20, 25 people, and same thing.
Yep.
Without fail. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they're out spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
And the women who have been with someone say the sex improves exponentially, because it doesn't matter how careful you are, there's always the part of the brain of a woman mm-hmm. that until she has her next period is just not 100% sure.
Yeah.
So it's taking her out of that moment.
Yeah. And for the man too.
Yes, absolutely.
You're terrified.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, every time.
So it just changes the whole tone. It changes everything about it.
It makes you wonder, like, why wouldn't we cover this? I mean, this mm-hmm. there's some ethical things going on around this that make you wonder why this couldn't be covered. Is it a complicated? I guess the undoing is the complicated part of it. But
it is covered though.
No,
the undoing.
Oh,
is
the
not.
Undoing.
Oh,
yeah, I don't think so. And that's an interesting point. One of my friends made once is like, because I said, oh, wouldn't it be great if all 12-year-old boys had this done, so all babies were intentional. But she brought up the very valid point that then there's a socioeconomic barrier that's unfair.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So what would be interesting is a government program that provides them for free and then also undoes them for free.
Right.
Right. But at least every baby is intentional. I think that effect alone would be profound on the world.
I couldn't agree more, because think about that. Right, to get it undone, you would have to come in and prove that you have a stable household, yeah. You know, that
but
you can...
Even if you didn't want to be biased at all, right? Because people could say, oh, you're being racially biased or whatever with a stable household. Just if you just said you can get it undone if you just ask for it. But you have sure. to make an appointment,
yeah,
come
yeah.
in together,
yeah.
and then do it.
Right.
Just that small step.
Totally.
That would be an interesting change, too, because if women want to get their tubes tied, a lot of times they have to get their husband's permission. So to get...
What?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I just had a woman that I interviewed not that long ago, and she just had it done in the last 5 years that she had to get her husband's permission for it.
It must be like state by state. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It's courtesy.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting, flipping around, that you have to have the woman come in with you to get it reversed.
Yeah. I mean,
even better, like you have to come in, like, you know, on one day and then come back 30 days later.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's the other thing too, is like people not making like rash decisions or making impulse decisions.
Right. That's like making the appointment and then the follow-up appointment. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's also good if the woman knows so that he can't decide to get her pregnant to keep her trapped.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know he got it reversed. Right.
And he can't say it wasn't me. Because like we have a legal document that you came in together and said you wanted to have a baby. So right. you are responsible, sir.
Yes.
Like you don't get to run away.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So the other question that I have.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, yeah.
What is your fear of getting it done and what's holding you back?
I to be honest, I don't know that there's a lot of fear, but maybe this next question will be part of it. I actually thought that it cost a lot more. To be honest, I thought it cost, and maybe this is just from talking to Aaron, I thought it was going to cost me $5,000.
A lot of insurance covers it, though.
Yeah, and to be fair.
But we have crappy insurance.
Yeah, and to be fair, I would definitely encourage people to look into their insurance, because insurance definitely pays for it.
Yep.
100%.
Even like Medicaid and Medicare.
But see, we basically pay for almost everything through HSA. So
right,
we have,
so a high deductible health plan. I would imagine, to be honest with you, probably the average price is between like $300 and $500.
Yeah,
probably
and see, no that's not a barrier, no, but $5,000 has kind of been the barrier.
Yeah, and I will admit I paid way more than I probably should have, but I will totally agree, best decision for myself I've ever made.
Okay.
And I haven't made a lot of great ones.
The other thing is that I have a physical job, and that there have been times where I'm like, how long do I need? And I haven't researched this at all. I mean, to be honest. So how long does it take to recover from one?
Oh my gosh. It is honestly, I've had some men who are like, well, you know, like tried to say, oh, like the recovery. I'm like, no, bro, mm-hmm. there's like no recovery.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you have, they give you a local, so you're numb down there.
Yeah.
And yes, you have to like, you know, put some ice down there for a couple of days. But honestly, like within a week, I was fine.
Yeah, it does feel like being kicked in the nuts super hard for 2 days. I think I was icing for a week or so, but it only really hurt for a couple of days.
Right, like, yes, it did feel like you got kicked in the balls, but really, like, not bad.
No.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's no excuse, especially if you're with someone and they've had a baby.
I feel
like
sure enough.
Just like,
yeah.
There's just like, absolutely no excuse.
Yeah. I just thought of two pro tips. One, if when you're laying there and the doctor says, do you want to see the vas deferens? Do not say yes.
Okay. Because you watched, right?
I was curious. I was like, sure. And when you see this little tube come out of your scrotum that is still attached to you, it's very disturbing. Yeah. Like you feel like you can feel it pulling on your belly button. And you're like, oh God. So don't do that.
As a health person, as a medical person, I think there's a curiosity of like, kind of want to see what goes on here.
Yeah.
Well, part of it was, yes, it was interesting, but...
Didn't you say he had, like, normal surgeons have, like, the 4 times... Spectrums,
so he had loops
and
on.
And he had the 8s.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yes, he had loops on because he does reversals.
Yep.
Yep. But, and again, this was, like, the best medical experience I had. Like, you know, I had, like, an hour visit with him the first time. He went over all the risks. It was just, like, him and I in this, like, really nice office, and he was super attentive. And I don't know, I just like got such an awesome vibe from him. And he took me in to do a different room to do like the physical exam and stuff like that. And he had kind of like, you know, he seemed genuinely interested in like what I was doing out there. And like, it was kind of right at the beginning of the whole startup thing, you know, and he, so he knew like some venture capitalists and stuff. So while he was doing the vasectomy, I was pitching him on my startup.
See, that's your $5,000 because mine was like $230, but I was every 15 minutes he's doing somebody different. And he's telling me, he's like, you know, medical doctors don't know how the heart gets blood back into it after it's been pumped out to the veins. I'm like, really? I don't think that's true. So that's the guy that I got. So I'm like, you know, you have what you pay for a little bit. Yeah.
and if you get a guy who's not being attentive, or I mean, I don't know how many women are doing this procedure, but I'm imagining it's more men. If you have someone who's not being attentive, is it okay to just walk out of the room and say, not today?
Absolutely. Any type of procedure, if you're not feeling comfortable, good idea to leave.
Okay. Yeah.
100%. Especially if they have a scalpel.
Especially if they have a scalpel. Yeah. Or they're going to put you under.
It's good relationship advice in general. Yeah. True. If they have a scalpel and you're not feeling comfortable, you should go.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So the other question I was going to ask is sex better? After, I mean,
that's what I've heard.
And
it's better for both partners involved.
Yeah. I mean, the stress is definitely gone, right? You don't have to worry about it at all. Yeah. I will say I was Mr. Condom beforehand. And the one bad health thing is afterwards, I'm very lax about that. I had been very lax about it. Still, thankfully, have not caught anything that's permanent, but that's the downside. So just try to still be responsible.
That's a good reminder, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is.
But, for somebody who's younger, who's doing it, especially.
Yeah, definitely. Like still try to be safe.
Yeah.
But
or in their 70s, right. as we've learned.
As that is,
yeah.
We were talking last night about how the ever increasing STDs in that age range.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, another plug for going to someone who does a lot of these, just like any sort of surgical procedure.
Yeah.
You really want to go to someone who does a lot of whatever you're going to get to do.
Yeah.
Like, although I'm a general doctor and I think you really want to have a general doctor, there aren't a lot of them anymore.
Yeah.
You want a primary care, someone who knows like a little bit about like everything, but when it comes to surgical procedures, you want someone who does that all day long.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And so there are some, obviously there's risk with everything, but the two major risks with the vasectomy is you can get like chronic scrotal pain afterwards if the person doesn't know what they're doing. And so that can be real. But the other thing is that you can get reverse ejaculation where you never ejaculate anymore. So again, you really want to go to someone who knows what they're doing and doing it all the time.
Do the research.
Yeah. That's a good point. Actually, probably most people don't realize that you still ejaculate and it looks completely normal afterwards.
Oh,
because I had tons of girls ask me when I told them I had, when they're like, does anything come out anymore? Reasonable question.
Yeah.
Looks exactly the same.
Exactly. Because the majority of your ejaculation or is semen is actually the fluid that's coming like from your prostate and your seminal vesicles that's actually transmitting the sperm.
Right.
So the sperm is like microscopic.
The carrier.
And so after you have the vasectomy, it doesn't look any different.
Yeah. Well, and maybe as a doctor, you should also point out the fact that the body absorbs sperm anyway. So anytime you are not ejaculating, it was already doing that anyway. There's nothing wrong with getting a vasectomy. It's not causing any health problems by it being reabsorbed.
Totally. And and one of the things early on when they were doing vasectomies was whether or not men's like testosterone would go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another question.
Yeah, they've done multiple studies to prove that that's not the case, which really makes sense because really they're just cutting the vas deferens, which is like transmitting just the sperm, right? But your testosterone is coming basically from the blood flow from the testicles.
Okay.
Actually, that just reminded me to something I think one of you said earlier about religion. So in the Bible, it says man may not spill his seed. So, mm-hmm. but you, now you've taken your seed out of the equation. So religion should not have a problem with it, or at least yeah. Catholicism or Western religion should not have a problem with
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
Well, but they do because you're taking it out of God's plan and you should just have whatever babies happen to you.
Or maybe it was God's plan for you to have babies in a healthy household
my take on these things in terms of God's plan, and I hope this doesn't cause problems, but is that science has to have been part of God's plan. And once we understand the science, I mean, the science can be used for a lot of things. And I think we have to sort of figure out what the ethical pieces of those are. But in this situation, you know, when we're talking about the well-being of people, the well-being of half of a population who are interacting with men, that's a big deal. And all those children who are not going to get the care, you know, mm-hmm. if we don't do something like this. So I think ethics in this situation and science getting part of God's plan trumps.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also roughly 750,000 children awaiting to be adopted in the United States. I mean, that right there.
Yeah.
I did want to go back to you were asking if the sex is better. I would also say it's important to note that the sex will also increase in your life.
Yes.
We were talking about this earlier, but because for some reason when women hear that you've had a vasectomy, they really want to have sex with you. Like you can just feel it palpably in the room once you mention it casually. They're like, okay, it's on.
Okay.
So there's really no downside.
Well, I'll be scheduling soon then.
Yeah.
And does your sex drive change at all? This is something
maybe a younger person or
older person might ask.
I don't think my sex drive changed. No, okay. But I totally agree. I think the sex is definitely better because you remove the unnecessary, you remove the anxiety
the
part
stressor.
Of it. You just focus on each other.
Yeah. Right. And you're probably more willing to do it, right? Because there's not as much risk. Yeah.
But again, got to. I definitely have to say again that you really have to be still careful. I mean, the vasectomy is not going to protect you from any STDs at all.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference between, you know, getting pregnant and having sexually transmitted diseases. And so it's still super important to be protective in that regard.
Yes.
Which is also why I think we were talking about this also, which is also why I think that the STDs are going up in the older population because they aren't thinking about pregnancy and they don't even think to use condoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wow, that's awesome. Thank you guys. This was like to share all of this. I don't know how if you guys felt totally comfortable, but I have never heard anybody talk about this subject, and this has been sort of churning around between all of you for a while. So this is like amazing research. Is there anything we missed? Is there anything else you can think of?
Just like when your appointment is to get your consultation.
Yeah. we can give you a number.
Yeah.
What date was that?
This might be one last thing is, where do you start your search? What do you search for when you're looking for someone to do a vasectomy for a medical professional?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. So, I would look for a board certified urologist and someone who does a lot of them. And I mean, to be honest with you, I think it depends on if you are in a married situation, you have kids, you know, for sure you don't want to have kids at all. You're not going to, you know, freeze your sperm, that sort of thing. I think there's kind of different decision pathway there, depending on if you're younger and you think maybe you want to have kids later, so you might want to have a reversal. In that case, I would look for someone who does a lot of reversals.
Okay.
You want someone, you know, who like knows what they're doing. And so then in case you want to have it reversed in the end, maybe you can go back to the same person, because that was my hope, that if I did, I would go back to the same person because, you know, he was in there, he had his own certain technique, so he would be able to reverse it easier. That's what I would do.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thank you for bringing this up, because I think, like, for me, I can't spread the gospel enough. It was life-changing in the best way possible, and it should be something that every adult male considers.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be fair to the opposite gender, right, but also for yourself.
Agreed, wholeheartedly.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the other part of it, and maybe this will, like, lead us down a whole nother road, but I... you know, I think anyone struggling with any sort of like, you know, like disorder or, you know, mental or physical or that sort of thing, that maybe they, you know, thinking twice about whether or not they want to pass that along to kids and that sort of thing.
So that actually was the thing that kicked me off. I forgot about it. It's been so long, but I had been mulling this over, and I was diagnosed with my third pretty reasonably serious disease. And I was like, nope, not going to do this. My life has been very difficult. I would not do this to somebody else intentionally. That was the reason that kicked me off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a great point.
Was that part for you too, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay. So I want one more question. I forgot. So what are the percentages or what are the chances that you could still get someone pregnant if you have the vasectomy?
That is a great question. So I don't know what happened with yours, but afterwards, with mine, I actually had to leave two sperm samples. I don't remember the timing, but it was like, you know, a week later or something, or like 2 weeks later, and then a month afterwards.
Isn't it a number of emissions? Doesn't that play into it?
Possibly, but I remember that I had to go there, give a sample to confirm that basically there was no more sperm coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, so part of when I asked my doctor to take out less, that was part of the warning, is if I don't put as much space in between the vas deferens, they could grow back. Mm-hmm. So I had to give a few different samples, and he made me come back a year later because of that.
Okay.
To prove that I was still sterile.
Again, okay. Like well, yes, and again, you want to go to someone who knows what they're doing, who does it all the time, because there are many stories out there of basically people who have gotten a vasectomy and then had kids later because it grew back.
Yeah.
So you want to go to someone who knows what they're doing.
And is there any timing to like maybe going to have a follow-up, like is a year or after you're clear after a year, or maybe 3 years after that, or is anything like that?
No, I don't think so. You know, the main thing is, and I can't remember off the top of my head because it's been so many years, and maybe I should have looked this up, but there was clearly a timing afterwards where he was like, I know we just did the procedure today, and you have to wait 2 weeks to have any sexual activity. And after that, you have to wear condoms until, you know, a month after, 2 months after, something like that, until I gave those two samples, and they were both totally clear.
Okay.
Like,
because you can still have sperm in your system.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, Anthony, when you went back, like, after a year... Mm-hmm. That you got the clear on yours.
Yeah, it was zero count, which was great. They even said it doesn't have to be zero and it's still acceptable, but it was zero, which was great. And it's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's something in my mind, because I didn't get the titanium tips, I was like, I should go back like every few years and check it, and I have it, and that's actually pretty irresponsible of me, honestly, because it doesn't cost anything to go to your doctor and say, I just want to do a sperm sample.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay. That was awesome, you guys. So good.
Yeah, thank you.
Quite an interesting conversation. I'm curious to hear what you think after hearing this. Did it change your opinion or give you encouragement to have the procedure done? I'd love to hear your reaction about this conversation, and I'd love to hear from both men and women. And of course, if you have any questions for me or any of the guests of this episode, please reach out. jeremy@highway2.health is my email. And if you found this an important subject or know someone who you think should hear this, please share it directly or post it on your media page. It is certain to draw some attention. Thanks for listening and for all that you do. Be good to yourself, be kind to each other, and take care of your planet. Be well, my friends.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Healthcare for Humans, hosted by Dr. Sundar, expands our understanding of the history and culture of different communities and how to provide culturally responsive care. There's an episode you should check out where guest Dr. Duran details the systemic barriers faced by individuals with DACA status and highlights the importance of addressing these barriers. Check out Healthcare for Humans on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.